Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown's takes place Thursday, September 19th. Come hear your neighbor's adventure. Hi, this is Bill Barty saying this wonderful franchise at Jesse Brown's invites three different storytellers to tell their 20-minute story. You're invited. Again, Thursday, September 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Jesse Brown's.
All right, Bill Barty, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors. And as we return from Florida on the last segment, you recall last year we were talking about the red tide down there and all the problems they were having with that. This year we've got a water problem a little closer at home called blue and green algae that's really devastating dogs.
That's right. We've lost, I think we're up to four in the Wilmington area, maybe three in Wilmington, one in Georgia. And this is this blue-green algae is going on all across the South right now. And we can talk a little bit about why it's happening. You remember those rains from the fall and the spring? You remember the heat that we've had all the way through July and into August? All of that plays a part in it. Stagnant water, light circulating water, all of that plays a part in this bloom and the dangers that it brings towards our pets and towards us. But we're going to hone in on the pet aspect, at least at first. And when we do that, we like to bring on the dog doc. We're going to go to Dr. Tom Watson from Carolina's Veterinary Medical Hospital here in Charlotte to find out a little bit about what this blue-green algae does to our pets and how we should maybe handle our pets in such an instance. So, Dr. Watson, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Hey, thank you guys. Bill, Don, it's great to be with you.
Well, it's always good to talk to you, and you are a man about town, or shall we say a vet about town, and we'd like to learn from how to handle our pets in the heat and that sort of thing. You've given us good advice on that, but when it's so hot like it is in a Carolina's summertime, our animals, especially our dogs, want to jump in that pond. Can you talk to us a little bit about how we can handle our pets in the heat and then how we can handle them when they want to go swimming in an area, a pond, like over at Park Road Park or so?
Oh, definitely. I said, well, the first thing to remind people, and some may know this and some may not, but dogs do not have sweat glands. They can sweat just a little bit from their pads, but otherwise they dissipate heat by panting. And so that's the way they cool their body down. And that's why they pant hard when they're running, playing, and it's hot outside. Instead of letting them drink out of a pond, carry water. I have a collapsible water bowl when I take my dogs out hiking and take them to the Whitewater Center, wherever. A collapsible water bowl and that a little water source, a little water jar that, you know, a jug that you can get at Jesse Brown's. How about that?
So I like your style.
All this outdoor gear comes in handy. And, but you know, when it's hot outside, you know, dogs just, you know, like common sense, short breaks, fine shade, plenty of water, don't overdo it. If you're hot and tired, they probably are too. So, that's a big thing right there, is just using some good common sense to keep those guys from overheating.
Well, tell us about this blue-green algae. What's it look like? How has it affected anyone close around Charlotte here?
Yes, you know, they actually found it right off the bat in Park Road Park. And then I think they started checking other parks and have found it there. I don't have a list of them. But first of all, you're right, it is called blue-green algae. But actually, it's not an algae. It's a toxic microorganism called cyanobacteria. And the appearance, when you first walk out, you know, you can't tell if it's in the water or not, because sometimes it's going to be pretty obvious. It looks like a greenish paint that you have dropped onto the water surface, you know, and it can look like paint there. Now, it can change color as well. It may, as it's breaking down, it may go to a bluish color, a reddish, brownish, and eventually will break down in the water. But even if you see the algae and you can identify and go, oh, yeah, that's that blue-green algae, you still can't tell if it's toxic. So it takes a microbiologist, somebody to look at it, you know, to do under a microscope and do some testing to find out, is that actually toxic? And if it is toxic, it's not, they don't all follow this exact same storyline. It could be a neurotoxin that this algae or bacteria is producing, and that's going to affect the nervous system, and that's going to cause death suddenly. It's going to be that dog that got in the water, drank some, and then died 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, you know, a short time later. And the neurotoxin just, it's like organophosphate. That's something, it's a naturally occurring organophosphate, which is something we used as a pesticide many years ago. I'm not sure it's still commercially available, but it's made to kill pests, and that's what it does. So you're going to see some of the symptoms of that could be, you know, vomiting, tremors, lethargy, weakness, hypersalivation, maybe urination, defecation, you know, involuntarily. And they end up going into respiratory failure because the diaphragm, the muscle that makes us breathe, becomes paralyzed, and they end up dying from that. So that would be pretty quick. The other toxin is going to be a hepatotoxin. Hepatitis, it means liver, and you end up in liver failure. Now, that can take days to occur, so it's a little slower onset. So I guess the you know, you start asking, well, how do we treat it? What do we do? How do you diagnose it? There's really not a quick test to test and see, is it, you know, is this what it was? And there's no antidote once they take it or once they've ingested it. What you have to do is supportive care. If it's the neurotoxin, there's probably not much you can do. Things are going to happen so fast that, you know, you can't save that pet. However, if it's the hepatotoxin strain, then we're going to do supportive care. That means IV fluids, antiemetics. It may be blood transfusion, but it's going to take some hospitalization and a lot of intensive care there for ever how long, a few days. So, you know, even a week or more, just depending on, there's a lot of factors involved, such as how toxic is that strain of cyanobacteria, you know. The other thing is, how big a dog is it? How much did they ingest? A little Chihuahua versus a St. Bernard. It's going to take a lot more drinking for the St. Bernard to become affected, obviously, than the little Chihuahua. Hey. And that's some of the things that you can, you know, just to think about there. And I'm sure you guys have some other questions about it.
We're talking with the outdoor guys here from Jesse Brown's on the Carolina Outdoors. It's who we are. And we're talking to Dr. Tom Watson from Carolina's Veterinary Medical Hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina, right here, a little bit about pet welfare, health, and this blue-green algae bloom that's going on that's causing some health deficits in some of our dogs.
Well, this all sounds pretty horrible, Tom, so the best thing to do is keep the dogs away from the ponds and still water, right?
Correct, yes, and the best way to do it is bring your own water source. Like I said, you can bring that water bowl and a water bottle, so therefore they're not tempted to get in the water and drink out of it, because it also has a skin irritant as well. So even if they didn't drink, if they just swam, you can get some skin irritation, but that, never say never in medicine, but that's not likely to cause any kind of long-term complications or death. It's irritating to the skin.
Now, can this affect humans as well?
It can. I don't know that there's any death that would, you know, in people, but that, you know, small children, really small, young children, it would be more likely to affect than an adult because of just the body size and the amount that it would take to become toxic. But the biggest thing with people is the irritation to the skin.
Now, is this a problem in rivers and moving water?
No, these cyanobacteria will flourish and grow in stagnant ponds, warm weather, and especially if there's some kind of a runoff where they're picking up some fertilizer or waste, you know, whether human, animal waste. Those are the things that feed this bacteria and help it grow. So it needs to be warm and stagnant.
Now, this should go away as the weather gets colder?
It will, and I don't have an exact temperature that, okay, it will be gone at this temp, because it really depends on the water temperature. And, you know, the bigger the body of water, the slower it is to respond to changing ambient temperatures. So,
wow, a lot of excitement, a lot of awareness, things that we need to know as we get our animals out there and that sort of thing. And we're talking to Dr. Tom Watson, Carolina's Veterinary Medical Hospital, about pet welfare. And Dr. Watson, moving a little bit away from the toxic algae bloom going on, what is a frequent problem that you see in the summertime with people bringing in their pets to your clinic that's, I guess, a seasonal or a heat-related or that sort of thing? Is it snake bites? Is it heat exhaustion? What are you seeing in the summertime with pets?
Well, there's going to be something simple like allergies. And when dogs have allergies, they don't sniffle and sneeze like we do. Even though it's the same things causing the allergy, they tend to itch. So if you notice your dog just licking its paws, maybe rubbing its face, shaking its ears, there's a good chance that it has allergies. Now, that's on the non-lethal side. Yes, you start getting into heat exhaustion, heat stroke, heat-related deaths. And one of the worst dogs I ever saw came in with a heat stroke. Mom was pregnant, pushing a newborn or a young child in a stroller, and the dog was walking with him, and it was like 88 degrees or so. It wasn't even in the 90s. So that's an unusual scenario, but the point is, you know, she's not out running the dog hard. They're taking it easy, but it just so happened that for whatever reason, this dog could not handle the heat that day, came down with a heat injury, like a heat stroke, and luckily, you know, we were able to save them. You have to get IV catheters going, start cooling them down gradually. You don't want to shock their body and try to cool them down all at once with a quick ice bath. But you do, anytime, and even going back to the allergy, if you're suspicious your dog is having a problem, something's just not right, call your vet. Let them know you're on the way. That way we at the hospital can start getting prepared for what we may need, and if those minutes could be the difference between life and death. So whether it's a heat injury or exposure to blue-green algae, just let us know you're coming and what the symptoms are, and we can, you know, be prepared before you get here.
Now, Dr. Tom, we've been talking about dogs, but you do some unusual animals. What's the most unusual animal you've seen in the last few months?
Well, I haven't had one in a few months, but I have had quite a few big cats, lions and tigers in the hospital on my surgery table. The biggest is about a 600-pound, Siberian Bengal tiger. And, that's a big one to do some surgery on, for sure. If you have to put two surgery tables together, you recruit people to help, you know, from the waiting room. They're in there with their dog or cat, and you're like, excuse me, you look strong. Could you come back here for just a moment? We need some muscle. And when they come back in the back, they don't realize what they're doing.
Things get really quiet in a dog kennel when you're working on a Bengal tiger.
Well, dogs, I mean, it's amazing. And even the cats, the house cats, they sense this exotic animal in there. They can smell it, and you can see the fear in the pet. They realize, ooh, there's something in here that's not real friendly.
The king of the jungle has arrived. Listen, I'll never forget, you're one of our alums from Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown's, and we're doing it again. You told your story in the veterinary world, especially with those exotic animals. We're going to do that again Thursday, September 19th. At Jesse Brown's. That's a Thursday. So, Dr. Tom Watson, you're one of those alumni. Thank you for sharing then. And thank you for your wisdom today as we learned about how to handle our pets and take care of them in the Carolina outdoors.